Hi, I'm Dr. Michael Wesley, Senior Pastor of Greater Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church. Our mission is to reach, teach, and baptize throughout the world, beginning in our community, fulfilling the Great Commission by the power and presence of the Holy Spirit until Jesus returns. That simply means we're here to reach irreligious people and turn them into lifelong devoted followers of Jesus, equip them for a place of service in the church, and send them out on a mission for Christ in the world. We're glad you're with us today. I command blessings on you and your family today.
Just occur once a year on the Thursday in November. Every day for the Christian is a day that we express thanksgiving. thanksgiving to our God. And that's what I want to talk to you a little bit about this morning as we prepare our minds and hearts for this great season and the word that God has laid out for us on this Lord's Day. Join me now with your prayers as we come to God's throne together. Our Father and our God, gratitude exudes from our hearts today. Not just because we're in a particular season, but because you have been good and you are good. Your mercy continues to abound toward us. And we can't help it but to want to express that thanksgiving. And we praise you for the worship experience today here in this place. The songs, the music, the prayers, the scripture, all have led us to this moment. And now, Lord, we need a word to carry us into the week. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to give, what you have prepared. And Lord, we pray now for the ability to deliver it. Speak, Lord, your servants are listening. Speak the truth so clear that none of us escape. And we walk away helped, understanding now the divine truth as you give it. Bless your name. May it be honored and praised through it all. Bless the words in our mouth and the meditations on our heart. And it may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen again. Well, last time we said we were doing a two-part series for Thanksgiving. We looked at Psalm 103 last time. Today I want you to look at Psalm 107. Now, in those first 32 verses of the 107th number Psalm, we're going to examine those verses today, and we should be able to get it all in, but I'm not going to read all that you're hearing. I'm going to read just the first four verses in your hearing, and then we'll begin the explanation of it. Psalm 107, verses 1 through 4 in your hearing. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. This is the word of God for the people of God. I want to preach this morning reasons for giving thanks. Reasons for giving thanks. To me, reasons ought to be obvious. But for so many, there are so many people who are hurting and in various conditions at this time that they might argue back and say, I have no reason to give thanks. My life is a mess. Circumstances have turned against me. COVID-19 has ruined me. The election has soured my confidence. And many other circumstances we might be able to enumerate. But I came to tell you this morning, we have reasons to give thanks. And if you are saved today, you better give thanks. And that's not a request. That's a command. Everybody is not grateful. But people who have been saved certainly ought to be grateful. Amen. This psalm is a song of what I call desperation. It's one of those Thanksgiving songs that the children of Israel sang whenever they were going to have a worship experience where they wanted to recall all of the salvation or all of the redemption that they had received from God. It is believed that this particular psalm, Psalm 107, was perhaps sung after the children of Israel returned from their Babylonian captivity. And when they returned, it was just another example of the delivering, redeeming power of Almighty God. And I want you to know that because they were gathered, this became a song of thanks. It became a summons, a call to give thanks. And who is to give thanks? The psalm gives the answer. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let those who have been delivered, what? Say so. Let those who have been blessed, what? Say so. Let those who have been brought out, say so. Let those who've been lifted up, say so. We got reason this morning to say so. And the room this morning ought to be filled with thanksgiving. And I wish today that the world could eavesdrop on this experience of giving thanks, because there are so many ungrateful folk. And it's a worse sin than almost anything you could commit, to be ungrateful for the blessing of God. If you've been received anything from God, you ought to say so. That's what the song is really saying. But I promise you, people will give thanks to almost anyone else but God. They'll thank the voters. They'll thank the supporters. They'll thank the contributors. But never pause to say, thank you, Lord, for giving me strength, for keeping me enclosed in my right mind, for enabling me. But when you read this psalm, look at it. Come with me just for a moment here. Again, the opening verse. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? For he is good. Isn't he good? Yes, he is. And what this psalm does, it lays out for us the ways in which people in the Old Testament were saved or delivered. There have been a lot of people in theological circles who have assumed that people in the Old Testament were somehow saved different than we today are saved. Because we have been the recipients of grace and mercy, and they were under law, they seem to think that their deliverances were somehow different. But I think that a close examination of this psalm will help us to see different. Israel was delivered. Israel was redeemed. They were rescued. They were restored by God all throughout the Old Testament period. And in the various ways that they were, therefore they were brought back, as this psalmist say, from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west. So let me see if I understand what I'm saying myself. Israel was brought back from captivity in the north from Assyria. Israel was delivered from the south in Egypt. Israel was brought from the Philistines in the west. And they were brought back from captivity from the Babylonians in the east. So in every direction that they may have found themselves in trouble, God always brought them back. And I want you to understand that while this gives examples of how the children of Israel were delivered, it is also applicable to us because we too have been delivered. Now, what I would want you to do this morning is picture with me the worship experience in right after the Jews have returned from their Babylonian captivity. And they would be standing out in the open, and there would be throngs and throngs of people. And this song is telling them to give thanks. This song is saying, the redeemed of the Lord ought to say thank you. That's what it is. And so four illustrations are laid out in this particular passage today that I want to help you see. One is of a caravan of lost people looking to find a safe city. God brought the children of Israel out like that, and we're going to talk about that. The second picture in this of a prisoner in a dungeon waiting to be executed, and God miraculously delivered them. The third picture in this psalm is of a sick person who has lost their appetite and on their way to sure death, but God redeems. And the fourth picture is of a doomed sailor who's being rescued from a life-threatening storm. Now, that's four great pictures that are laid out in this song. And I want you to see the children of Israel as they would have come from captivity, and that massive crowd that would be representatives from every one of those situations. I need you to see it as we walk through it first. Let's look at the first picture of someone lost in the wilderness. All right, look at it as we meet it right here in the verse 5. And here we meet the restless soul. Here we meet the aimless people wandering from all over the place. No particular direction, just restless, aimless, lost, sinful people who can't find their way and trying to find how they might be brought to safety, looking for a city. Look at verse 4, 4 to 4 and 5. They wandered in a wilderness, in a desert. They didn't find a way to the city, to the inhabited city. They were hungry and they were thirsty and they fainted within them. Now, that could be a picture of Israel when they first were brought out of Egypt. How many know that when God brought them out of Egypt, they had to go through the desert and they had to wander around in the desert largely for 40 years because of their own disobedience? They couldn't find a city. They couldn't find their way out. They were wandering around aimlessly. And yet, there are four characteristics in that picture that I want you to see, because those same four characteristics are repeated over and over again. First, there is the predicament. Say predicament. Predicament is the situation that they found themselves in. Then secondly, these are P words, there is the plea, or the request, the plea to God, crying out for mercy. And there is thirdly the pardon, the mercy of God extended. And then there is the praise. The obligation is to praise the Lord. Now you're going to see those four situations in each one of these pictures. So in verse 4 and 5, the predicament was they were lost in the wilderness. That was the children of Israel. But come on now, let me swing it over here, Veronica, and show you how to apply it. Because it's not limited just to the children of Israel. It also is a picture of lost people. And lost people wander around in this world aimlessly and lost, and will remain that way until there is a plea, until there is a cry, until there is a desire no longer to remain lost, but to cry out unto God for mercy. And guess what? The Lord heard them, and delivered them. Now, here's what I want you to understand. Now, theologians, they argue that the Jews in the Old Testament were saved different, need to look at this. Because how did you get saved? You cried out unto God, and the Lord showed you mercy. These folk were lost, and they cried out unto God, and God showed them what? Hello, somebody. They were enslaved for 400 years in Egypt. And the Bible said they cried out unto the Lord, and he heard them. And he sent Moses down to do something about it. Hello, I want you to see, that's the pardon. God will come through. And then the obligation comes when God does come through and get you out of your lost condition, then the redeemed is supposed to say so. Are y'all hearing me? Oh, Lord, this ought to be a day that where we ought to be just kind of can't hardly hold ourselves. Because some of you know that you were like that. You were lost out there in the wilderness. And you couldn't find your way. You couldn't find the city. You were thirsting. You were hungry. You were about to give up. You were about to give in. There was no help. There was no hope. This is a common scene. In the Bible days, people would have to travel. And they would travel through those deserts. And those sandstorms would come up. And sand would blow in their face. And they would be lost. And they couldn't find themselves and couldn't find their way. And so that petition is given in verse 6. They cried out unto the Lord in their trouble. And when Israel cried out to God, God rescued them. Amen. And God does the same for us. Okay, the pardon was there. Verse 8. Verse 6 again. I just want you to see it before I get too far gone down this line. He delivered them from out of their distress. And he led them to the straight way to go to the city. And so it is when sinners cry out to God, God will deliver. Is that right? Amen. I know I'm right because I know he heard me and I know he brought me out. Yeah. Yeah, he did. And one day he's going to bring us all the way out. But I ain't got to wait to then. To say so. Amen. Now, I want you to see the second illustration. The second picture is in verse 10. 10 through 12. I want you to look at the predicament there. And here is going to be the illustration of a person locked in a prison. Because that is also a picture. There were those who dwelt in darkness and in the shadow of death. Prisoners, one interpretation said, in misery and in chains. Now, I want you to see in your mind the people of Israel. I immediately thought at first, the New Testament, I thought of Paul and Silas. When they went to Philippi, they put them where? In the jail. I think of Jeremiah in the Old Testament. When they locked him up, they put him in a jail, in the dungeon. I want you to understand that it also depicts the children of Israel when they were carried captive. When they were carried captive, they were locked in a real sense in a dungeon. In those days, prisons, or should I say dungeons, would be in the basement. It would be dark. It would be smelly. It would be the result of poor circulation of air. And people who would be in such a place had no possibility of getting out. They had no one to rescue them, no way to escape. And all they had to look forward to was death. Now, I need you to see that wasn't just a picture of Israel. We too have been locked in Satan's prison. We too have been, as Paul would say in the New Testament, incarcerated in this body of flesh. Paul said it like this: "Oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of death that I am?" So I want you to see that there are a lot of people who have been carried captive into Satan's prison. Hey, you don't believe it, do you? You don't believe it. Let me tell you how you get lost, how you get locked in. You just wander away from God. And that's what the children of Israel did. When you read the record, you would see that they had no desire for the word of God. They shunned the word of God. And whenever we shun the word of God, reject the word of God, refuse to want to hear the word of God, we are making ourselves available to become captive. I want you to see the picture of sheep. Sheep with their heads down, grazing in the grass. And as long as they stay in the realm of safety, they'll be fine. But sometimes sheep put their head down and they're not paying any attention to where they are. And they're just looking for the grass. And they're just looking for the grass. And soon they have wandered way over here out of the way. And the wolf comes out of the mountain and takes the sheep captive. I want you to understand that whenever we walk away from God's word, and when we got our heads down enjoying the pleasures of this life and ignoring the principles of God's word, we make ourselves a prime candidate to be cast into Satan's prison. And once you are in his clutches, you cannot get out. You cannot get yourself out. That's the predicament. But look at the plea. The plea was they cried out unto God, and he heard them. What was your plea, Pastor? Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, oh well, shall I go? And the Lord heard me and delivered me out of my self-imposed prison, out of darkness and condemnation, waiting for and looking only for death. But God, somebody said, but God. Now, so what's the obligation? What's the response then? The response then is that the people, especially those who have been delivered, who have been redeemed, who have been brought out, they are to do what? They are to say so. They're to say so. They're to testify. They're to call out. They're to give thanks to God for the deliverance that he has given. Now, look at what I've said. There are some that are pictured as being lost in the wilderness, looking for a city, about to starve because they couldn't find their way. But they cried out, and the Lord heard, and the Lord delivered, and they ought to give what? Thanks. There were those who were in prison, locked on death row, doomed to nothing but death. But they also, what? Cried out to God, and the Lord did what? Delivered them. So their responsibility and obligation is to do what? Give thanks. Are y'all hearing me today? Let me help you here, because I don't think you're quite with me there. You ought to be, but you ain't quite there. And if you ain't there, let me help you. Verse 13 said, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble. That's the petition. And then the pardon in verse 13, and he saved them out of their distresses. That is, he brought them out of the shadow of death and darkness, out of their prison. He broke their bonds apart. Look at it. It's right there. I'm not making it up. So I want you to see now the third obligation, or the third illustration that's given here for why we ought to praise the Lord. reason to praise God, reason to give thanks. Verse 15 and verse 16. Look at it now. I hope you're looking at it. It's the picture of someone who's been languishing in a sickness and could not get well. Verse 17 through 22 lays it all out there for us, gives us the predicament there. Fools, because of their rebellious ways, and that again shows the culpability of people, just like the sheep who wander off. People can be foolish, and when people are foolish, they show themselves culpable. And what did they do? They rebel against God, and that's what they had done. And this is what Israel did. Look at the predicament here. Israel is like a sick person with a fatal disease in their Babylonian captivity. All right, that's what I want you to see. In the Old Testament, it was also true of them. In the book of Numbers, it described the children of Israel once they were wandering around in the wilderness. They got rebellious one day. And God sent fiery serpents, snakes among them, and bit them, and they became sick. And many of them died. And the only way that they were healed is they cried out unto God. And God told Moses to take one of those serpents and make him brazen and put him up in the air. And when he was lifted up in the air, the people that saw the serpent believed and lived. And so it is with sinners. We can be sick. And there are a lot of people who have sickness in their souls, sickness in their mind. You see the sickness all over this land. You see the sickness in the community. You see the sickness in your families. And I'm not talking about from coronavirus now. I'm talking about sin sickness. I'm talking about straight up stupidity. I'm talking about wickedness. I'm talking about, you can't describe that kind of behavior as being nothing but sick. And it's a lot of it. It's a lot of it. Come on, look at verse 17 there. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. And are all at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. Same pattern all over again. And he bring them out of their distresses. You see that? That's God. That's what God does for sin-sick people. When you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, then you will do what you have to do. And that's cry out unto God. And whenever you cry out unto God, God will what? He will hear you. Let me tell you about a conversion once that I shared. I one time purpose that I wouldn't bring this up, but I need to. That was a man once who was a part of the gay community and had been living a very difficult life. And he contracted AIDS, and he was going to die. And he knew that he was going to die. And a friend of his asked him to call me. And I was invited to come to share the gospel because he said, I don't want to die and go to hell for how I have chosen to live. And we shared the gospel, and we shared that, you know, you have to believe in Jesus, and that, you know. He said, well, what can I do? He said, I do believe in Jesus. He said, I really do believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I really do believe that he died on the cross. I really do believe that he was raised the third day. I said, then cry out unto God. I said, because the Bible says anyone who cries out to God, God would hear them. And that man cried out to God, and he prayed so right there. I knew that conversion was real. Brought him here to the church and literally had to physically pick him up to baptize him. He died a few days thereafter, but he went to heaven because he cried out to God. I don't care what manner of sickness you have. I don't care how long you have languished in that sickness. If you become tired of it and decide you want a different life, then you must cry out unto God, and God will hear you, and God will save you. And once God saves you and you become the redeemed of the Lord, then you must say so. I just don't understand how you can keep it to yourself when you know you've been wandering, lost in a wilderness, couldn't find your way, and the Lord rescued you, directed you toward a heavenly city. You know that you were in prison, bound on death row, waiting on the devil to finish you off with nothing and nobody else to get you out. But the Lord heard you and miraculously set you free. And you still want to sit here and look at me? You've been sick to the point of no return. And God has delivered you, and you can't say thank you. Shows the depth of our sickness, doesn't it? Because only a person who's still lost in their sickness is the kind of person that won't say thank you when you know that you have been brought out like this. So let me help you one more time. Let me show it to you in the text. Verse 19, he saved them out of their distress. Verse 21, look at the obligation, look at the praise. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his loving kindness and for his wonders and his wondrous acts to the sons of men. You listen, this is a summons. This is a call to give thanks. This is what Thanksgiving is about. This is not about turkeys. This is about telling God, thank you for getting me out. Give you one more picture that's in the text. And it's the picture of a person whose life was threatened in a storm. Lord Jesus, I can identify with that. Look at the predicament in verses 23 through 27. Those who go down to the sea in ships, who do business on great waters, they have seen the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. All right? You got to understand that in Old Testament times, most of the travel was on the seas. They didn't have planes. They didn't have Ubers. They didn't have lifts. When they traveled, they either walked or they rode camels. That's when they were on the land. But when they traveled continents, they went by sea. And may I tell you, there is nothing more frightening than to go down in the deep and not see how you're going to get out. They say that one of the most frightening experiences is the experience of a drowning person. Now, I had a little experience with that 3 times in my life. When I was a young boy, growing up in Titusville, the parks and recreation centers were closed. So we couldn't go to the park to learn how to swim. When it rained real hard on the street that I grew up in, the ditch would overflow and the waters would rage, and us boys wanted to go swimming. There was a place around from me we used to call the back of the ditch. And I jumped in there, and I couldn't swim. And a boy named Junior Randall, he's in heaven today, jumped in and got me out. I remember another time I was at Point Mallet, and the wave pool fooled me, and the wave took me under, and I was in trouble, and I knew I was. But the Lord got me out. I remember one third time when I was a new teacher teaching band at Lincoln School. We took a group of boys on a Boy Scout trip to Blount County. And we were racing in canoes. And the last group of boys did not put on their life jackets. And we were racing, and I was paddling. I told them, don't help me. I got it. I'm paddling. And I leaned this way, and they leaned that way, and the canoe turned over. And we were in 60 feet of water. And I was fully clothed with combat boots on. And the boys were hollering at me, Mr. Wesley, I can't swim. So I go under the water. I keep working, pushing those boys up on the side of the boat. Until the other boat canoe turned around and came back and got them. And by that time, I was worn out. And I remember just turning loose, saying, Lord, I guess I won't become some things that I thought. And all of a sudden, I popped up out of the water. And I was under the canoe that had turned over. And I reached up and grabbed a hold of the seat and said, thank you, Jesus. And I could hear them crying. Oh, Mr. Wesley gone, Mr. Wesley gone. I lifted up the canoe. I said, I'm here. And they said, we'll come get you. I said, no, don't do it. See, I had to wait till salvation transportation came from the other side. I've been out on the ocean. I love deep sea fishing. And I've been out there so far that you couldn't see land. And have been out there when the surf is up and the waves are reeling and rocking and moving so in such an unstable way. And I've been out there when the protein spills that were not intended to come are forced out of you. Some of you don't know what I'm saying. When you throw up overboard because you can't stand up straight. And I've seen, as the songwriter said, a lightning flash. And I've heard the thunder roll. I've felt sin's breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul. But I heard the voice of Jesus telling me still to fight on because he promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within. I was sinking to rise no more, but the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. And I just want to say thank you for all that you have done thus far. Thank you for being the God that you are. Anybody want to say thank you? Thank you for food on my table. Thank you for every mountain that you brought me over. Thank you for every valley that you carried me through. Thank you for every storm that you brought me out of. Thank you for unlocking the prison of my own life. Thank you for helping me find my way when I was lost in this world. Thank you. I don't care what you say today, but everybody ought to tell the Lord, thank you. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. if you know that you know that God brought you out, that God rescued you, that God saved you. I don't know how you can do anything else. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That's enough, isn't it? That's enough to say. You don't have to say much more than that. But you ought to tell the Lord, thank you. Everybody. Everybody. All over the world. All over the world. Ought to tell him thank you. So I want to give an invitation here this morning. And just say to anybody who may be under the sound of my voice, if you have been saved, your obligation is to praise God for the deliverance that he's brought into your life. If you have not been delivered, then you ought to ask him, like these people, for mercy. Cry out, and he will hear you, and he will come to you, and he will save you, and he will change you. Doors open. Doors up, church, open.
If I never live another day, if I never see another smiling face, if I never breathe another breath or take another step, I want to say thank you. If I never hear what's to be heard, if I never speak another word, if I never see another sight or taste another bite, I want to say thank you. I thank you for all that you've done thus far.
Thank you for all that you've done thus far.
I thank you for being the God that you are. Thank you for food on my table. Lord, I know you're able. Lord,
I want to say thank you.
If I never take another walk, if I never have another talk, if I never hear another voice or make another choice, I want to say thank you. If I never scale the China Wall, I take a flight out of North Sea, go see the Taj Mahal. If I never find a special friend, if it's just the world over and back again, Lord, I want to tell you thank you. I thank you for all that you've done thus far.
Thank you for all that you've done thus far.
I thank you for being the God.
Thank you for being the God that you are.
Thank you for food on my table.
Thank you for food on my table.
Lord, I know you're
able.
God like your love.
Thank you for food on my table. I know
I just gotta
able.
Say
I wanna say thank you.
Oh,
thank you.
I don't know how you cannot be thankful. Every one of us have been in a predicament, and our predicament is lostness. Whether it's at sea, whether it's in sickness, whether it's in prison, or whether it's in the wilderness, that's our predicament. But everyone who is delivered in the same way. There must be a petition, a plea, a crying out to God. There will be a pardoning that will come from the Lord. And there must then be the obligation of praise that comes from us as a result of God having delivered us. I want you to enjoy your week this week. Some of us will have virtual Thanksgiving. Some of us will have a drive-through Thanksgiving. But we won't be gathering for Thanksgiving. But we will be thankful. And I want you to be thankful, not just on Thursday, but every day. I want us to stand now. We're going home. We're going to sing the old hymn, Count Your Many Blessings. I want us to go home thankful. Went upon light billows, here we are.
Went upon light billows, you are tempted, tossed. You are discouraged, thinking all is lost. Count your many blessings, and you're one by one. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings. What God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God.
The chorus, count your blessings.
Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done.
Father, when we think about all that you have done, when we think about the great deliverances that you have wrought in our life, we can't help but tell you thank you. You have been so good to us. You have blessed us time and time and time again. You have brought us out of every troublesome situation we have found ourselves in, and we are so grateful. Keep us by your power. Use us for your glory. Bless this nation of ours. Heal the brokenness. Guide, direct. Bless with wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Lord, help us as a faith community to be more your witness, to live before the people in such a way that our lights will shine and men would know that we are your children as they see the good that's in us, and it brings glory and honor to you, our Father, which is in heaven. We pray now for the bereaved among us. We pray for the sick among us. We celebrate with those who are celebrating. And especially today, Lord, we celebrate with Tyree and Lacey Marable as they have produced a new baby boy. And we pray that you would guide and direct that child's life. Keep us all. Dismiss us now. Keep us by your power. May the grace of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, may it rest, rule, and abide with each one of us, your children, until we meet again. And all of God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Happy Thanksgiving. God bless you.
Hi, this is Dr. Michael Wesley, I serve as the senior pastor of the Greater Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama. I'm here today to tell you about some exciting news. I'm about to release a new book. This will be the fourth book that I would have released, but I want to help you understand my uniqueness in writing this book. First, I have been preaching for 38 years, and I've served the Greater Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church for 35 of those years. I'm a career-long educator, having earned a Bachelor of Science degree in music education, a master's degree in music education, an educational specialist degree in educational leadership, and a doctor of ministry degree in pastoral leadership. I have served with vigor in the work of ministry. I have baptized hundreds. I have married thousands. I have buried thousands. And in that process of working with couples before, during, and after marriage, I have experienced a wealth of knowledge. Personally, I've been married to the same woman for 42 years, and we have two grown sons and three wonderful grandchildren. I think I know a little something about marriage. In the process, I want to share this wonderful book with you, because when I first got married, I did not have the benefit of marital counseling. And as a result, I could have made enough mistakes that could have castigated our marriage ever before it got underway. But over the years, I've accumulated resources, and I've acquired knowledge base, and I've counseled many, and I've set in writing the benefit of all of those experiences. So look forward to the book, So You Want to Be Married, coming your way real soon. I look forward to your order. Thank you in advance. Hey friends, this is Michael Wesley, senior pastor of Greater Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church in Birmingham, Alabama. We really appreciate all of the love and support that you have shown to us through these broadcasts. We've been hearing from people and our friends all over, and we want you to pray about being a supporter and a prayer partner and a supporter of this television ministry. If you believe the Holy Spirit has ministered the Word of God to you and you'd like to see this ministry continue and to share it with your friends, please consider being a supporter. Follow the prompts on the screen. We would love to hear from you.